First Sunday of Lent. If there are any visitors today, please sign the guest book at the front door. After the service, we are having our annual meeting, so please stay for that, and then followed by lunch downstairs, and everybody is welcome. There are a few announcements in the bulletin. I'll just let you read them at your leisure. And Reverend McFinch.
Just take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship.
Our responsive call to worship in the bulletin. People of God, on this wilderness journey, what will you eat? People of God, in this time of temptation, how will you live? People of God, at this kingdom crossroad, whom will you serve? Our first hymn is 267, Rejoice the Lord is King.
Please be seated. Scripture tells us, happy are those whose sin is forgiven, who no longer suffer in silence, but name their sin and seek God's grace. Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning, and adoration, confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Wild God of the wilderness, as we come to you and devote these next 40 days to you, we ask that you will shape us by your Holy Spirit into that image of Christ our Lord, who set a wonderful example in this reading that we'll have today. Set an example so that we may be ready by your grace to confront the power of death with the promise of eternal life. Lord God, you know the ways of good and evil. You know the things that can tempt us and the things that can give us life. You know our nakedness and you know our sin. Lord, we come before you this morning that we can confess that we have at times disobeyed your word. At times we have denied your providence and care, and we've chosen it rather to rely on our own cleverness. There have been times, Lord, when you called us to walk a particular path and we've chosen not to. Have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. Cover us truly with your grace, your chesed, your everlasting, unending love. Feed us with the bread of life and recreate us truly in your image, an image that is truly that of Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we do come before you now and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Happy are those whose sin is forgiven. Be glad in the Lord and shout for joy. In Christ we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God. Lovely reminder for us today that we begin our Lenten journey with communion. Let's join together now in our next hymn, number 250, I Danced in the Morning, and during the second verse, will the children come forward for a time together. Number 250, I Danced in the Morning. Just came bounding up today. I'm so excited about that. It was skipping and jumping and all kinds of fun stuff. Let's see what we have in our butterfly box this morning. But before I open it, I want to ask you boys and girls, I said a special word that today was. Do you remember what that word was? It's only got four letters in it. Starts with the letter L and ends with the letter T. Remember? Lent. We're starting Lent today. Well, jeepers, what does that mean? Well, sometimes it means, well, what it means is, Easter's coming. Did you know that? Yeah? When is Easter? It's around April, that's right. It's about 40 days from Wednesday. We just went by. In fact, it's exactly 40 days after that. And sometimes people do something very special for Lent, at least sort of in the olden days they did. They gave up something for Lent. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, and he was thinking about God, and the enemy was trying to get him to think about all kinds of other things, but he spent his time thinking about God during those 40 days. And our 40 days before we get to Easter, we're supposed to be spending time thinking about God. But lots of people think about something, not necessarily during those 40 days, think about something a lot during the year. Chocolate. Do you guys like chocolate? Yeah? Do you think about chocolate very much? I do. I love chocolate. It's my friend. Can you tell? I'm going to give each one of you one of these little pieces of chocolate, but you have to do something. I want you to not open these until the Sunday before Easter, okay? Now, this might be easier for you than them based on what they just said. But I'm going to ask you to get the grown-up that you have in your life to hold on to this for you, and it'll be a treat, something that you can look forward to. And that's what we're doing about Easter. We spend this time looking forward to when Easter comes. So you'll have something you can take home with you, put it up on the fridge or put it on a shelf just so you can remind you that I want to be thinking about God, not chocolate, but there is a reward at the end. There's a reward for us at the end. What's Easter all about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus rising from the dead and about conquering death and all those big sort of concepts and ideas. It's something that we learn a lot about in Sunday school. So I'll give you this to take home, and the grown-ups can help them just think about it a little bit and not touch. And I meant the grown-ups, not touch, not them. And you guys can be spending some time thinking about God, and then we can, at the Sunday before Easter, you can all have this. Okay? Is that good? All right. Can we just have a little prayer, and then I'll give you those pieces of chocolate, and we'll come around. And repeat after me again, okay? Dear Jesus, we thank you for Lent, and we especially thank you for Easter. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. Thanks, boys and girls. And here's your chocolate. Whoop, don't go away without your chocolate. And you just got to keep it safe until that Sunday before Easter. Okay? And we're going to sing just the third verse that's remaining of our song, because the last two are Easter more related. And we're going to keep to that third verse. So remain seated and sing the third verse of our hymn. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, may the words of your mouth as we see them in Scripture be our daily bread, and may the leading of your Spirit truly become our way as we hear your word this morning, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you, our response to Psalm today is taken from the Psalters that you have in your pews. It is Psalm 32, and this is a psalm that is talking about how wonderful it is to be loved and forgiven by God. And it is one that was shouted, or sung rather loudly, I suppose, but sung in the temple. It is a hymn of penitence and a hymn of tribute. We join together now responsively, Psalm 32.
Psalm 32, reading responsively. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you.
Verse 10 uses that phrase again, steadfast love, that we see repeated throughout Psalms and the Old Testament. That Hebrew word is hesed, and it is the steadfast love that never ends, that of God. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, and then jumping to chapter 3, 1 to 7. And it's a story that we're commonly aware of, I suppose. It's the story of the forbidden fruit. And it ties all of these scriptures together that we will be reading today, as Paul talks about in Romans, how sin has come into the world and what the point of Christ's life, death, and resurrection are all about. Let's start reading here at Genesis 2, chapter 2, beginning at verse 15, and it's on page 2 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." Our New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 5, and that's on page 156 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. It is Paul continuing his discourse to the church in Rome about much of what we believe in theology today. There's been volumes written about what Paul had to say, talking about original sin and talking about our stature before God and the role of Christ in his resurrection and conquering of death. So Paul is trying to explain this in certain words. We read from Romans 5, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who was like a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." And our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. That's page 3 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Again, a common story that we recite at this time at Lent, the beginning of Lent. And Jesus is in the desert, in the wilderness. It's referred to there for the 40 nights and 40 days. And Satan comes and tries to tempt him in three different occasions in three different ways. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 1. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All of these I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him." This is the word of God. Let's join together now in our next hymn, number 352, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" 352.
Thank you.
seated. Well, this morning when I arrived at church, there was an envelope on my desk, and I thought I'd wait till now just to kind of open up and see what it's all about. Oh, congratulations, it says. Apparently, I've won. Well, whoa. I just want to thank the Academy. Not a joke, right?
I'm afraid
that's this is the right one? Thank you, Gord. Thanks a lot. Well, the real winner is, of course, it's all of you. You are God's people. And because God's love is never ending, God's love has forgiven all of us. And that's no mistake at all. And as it says in Romans 5, one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. And that one man was and is Jesus Christ, God's Son given for all of us for that forgiveness of sins. As we prepare to explore this idea of God's never-ending love in our Lenten journey, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, help us this morning to put aside the many things that we may have brought with us this morning. Sometimes in the rush to get to church on a Sunday morning, lots of different things take place and we can easily get distracted. Help us now to calm our hearts and our minds and focus on you and focus on what you have for us, especially as we begin this Lenten journey and we start this with our communion service this morning. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are beginning a journey today, a journey that has a great reward for all of us. It's not a reward similar to this, but it is something much more meaningful and truly, truly important for us. It cost the life of Jesus and took the power of our loving God to complete that never-ending love that has said that I've mentioned. As of Wednesday, this past Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday, we began our 40 days of Lent. Today, of course, is our first Sunday of Lent, as I've said, and this period in our church calendar is entirely put together based on those 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. Now, the number 40 appears many, many times throughout the Bible. There were 40 days and nights that Noah spent on the ark. There were 40 years that the Israelites spent wandering in their very own wilderness. Moses spent 40 nights on the mountain speaking with God. Moses also sent spies for 40 days to investigate the land God had promised to the Israelites as an inheritance recounted in the book of Numbers. The prophet Jonah powerfully warned ancient Nineveh for 40 days that its destruction would come because of its many sins. Elijah went 40 days without food or water at Mount Horeb. In fact, the number 40 is used in a total of 146 times in Scripture, generally trying to symbolize a period of testing, of trial, or of probation for people. And so today we have our 40 days of Lent that leads us to the cross event that we call Easter. The English word Lent, just to have an idea of where that comes from, is a shortened form of an old English word, lengthen, which means the spring season or the lengthening of the days as it begins. And it originally comes from a Greek and Latin phrase that we won't even worry about, but it means 40 and 40th or 40 days. So this Lent, this lengthening of time and this 40-day period is something that has been with the church for a long, long time. And as I've said many times already this morning, there are traditionally 40 days in Lent, and these have been traditionally marked by fasting both from foods and festivities and by other acts of penance. There's three traditional practices that have been taken up during Lent, and they are prayer, which represents justice towards God, fasting, which is justice towards the self, and almsgiving, justice towards neighbors. It has in more modern times boiled down to giving up something for Lent, as we talked with the children briefly about giving up chocolate, for instance. And really, in truth, it's really boiled down to not very much as far as giving up goes, because people don't celebrate Lent because they have no church background, or it's kind of fallen out of favor in many of the Protestant churches as time has gone by. The point of giving something up for Lent is really so that we can spend time that we would have been doing something else, and spend that time in prayer or acts of kindness or scripture reading, some time with God to reflect on our lives. Something is given up sacrificially in the same way that Jesus gave up as he wandered in the wilderness and ultimately gave up his life for all of us. Referring back to Paul's statement in Romans, one man's act benefited the many. So as we think about wilderness, I'll put that in air quotes, that Jesus spent 40 days and nights in, we need to consider what might our wilderness be for each of us as individuals and maybe for us as a congregation. Lent as a church holy day is not specifically scriptural, and as far as celebrating it goes, it's a church tradition, very much like Christmas, I suppose, is, but it is a tradition that has good roots and intent, but only if we remember the why of why we're doing these things and giving things up in Lent. What we have, once again, and I say this very often, the written word supersedes the intent. Lent has turned into just an act, but we forget the why of that act. We forget why we're doing something. So it's fun to say, or fun to maybe even do almost. It becomes fun just because I've given up chocolate for 40 days. But it's really why we're doing that, in order to spend time with God and reflect on the sacrifice that Christ gave for us. Here at Burlington East, like many congregations, we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent by celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion, which we're set for now. This is a wonderful way to begin this 40-day journey, as communion reminds us what is coming up for Easter. And I did mention last week, as we read the story with the disciples and we're reading through the life of Christ, they didn't have the benefit that we have, that we can flip through the pages and read the end of the story. They were living it in a sort of a timeline. They were isolated. So for them, this seemed very confusing and sometimes, and they didn't really understand what was coming. But we do. And in our journey, we can be thinking about what is coming for us. You know, Lent and Easter could be argued as the most important time for Christians. It's especially when we juxtapose that against Advent and Christmas. And what I mean by that somewhat is that the amount of airtime that Advent and Christmas gets, unfortunately, tends to underwhelm or maybe even overwhelm sometimes the festival of Lent and Easter by comparison. You know, you get advertising on TV, the stores do it. You don't see much about Lent and Easter in the stores and on television, but you certainly see a lot about Christmas. There's a little bit about Easter because we see bunnies and eggs and chocolate and that sort of thing, but the meaning of what's really going on is lost entirely. Our challenge, I believe, today for us as individuals and as the body of Christ here and over the next 40 days should be to consider this journey that we're all taking to the cross as if we didn't know what the end is going to be. We don't light the candle here during Lent because it's to help us to focus on the light that's sort of literally almost saying that at the end of that tunnel, the end of that journey, the light that is Christ. We will be standing at the foot of that cross when we come to the end of this journey at Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This next 40 days is a time to reflect before our God the things that can slow us down in this life. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us of the great faith that so many people had in the Bible before we lived, before we were here. It tells us that we have a great history of faith, of examples of faith, and of God's never-ending chesed love. I want us to consider the words that are found in Hebrews 12 at the end of all of these examples that are given. It says, "Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Then he received the highest position in heaven, the one next to the throne of God. Think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up." This Lenten 40 days, think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up. It's a word that God wants for us, something for us to do over these next 40 days. If we're going to give up something for Lent, consider a period of time that you take every day to maybe read the paper, watch the news, something that takes some time out of your day that you normally would spend. And I know time is very precious. And probably one of the greatest things that we could give up for Lent is our time, because time is hard to find sometimes, literally speaking. take some time regularly out of the next 40 days to spend some time reading Scripture, to be praying, to do an act of kindness, which calls that almsgiving, and do what is contained in this challenge from Hebrews. Think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners, so that you don't become tired and give up. This Easter, we can all be winners if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and we'll have much more than a little trophy to show for it. We'll have eternal life found at the foot of the cross because of Jesus' sacrifice and his victory at Easter. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, help us to understand Lent. Help us to understand the sacrifice that Christ has made. Help us to understand what it is to be in that wilderness with Christ. And help us, Lord, to truly anticipate with all our being that never-ending love that you have for us, shown to us in that cross event that is coming, what we know is Easter, the victory and the sacrifice of Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. As God has so freely offers us the gift of life in Christ, let us respond with gratitude, offering our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to God. Give you all praise and glory, Lord, because of the free gift that's mentioned here in Romans, the free gift that is Christ. We thank you that you give freely to us in all kinds of ways in our lives. Bless this, our offering, to your use, to your glory, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider the wilderness adventure time, that I guess not really adventure, I suppose, but that wilderness event that took place with Christ, it can be seen as a time of hiding place where a time of trouble can take place, where we're tempted and we struggle with things in life. This time together now is our time to be praying for other folks and other needs in our world. There'll be a time of silence this morning once again that you can offer a name for someone that's in need in your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning and we pray for all who are hungry. We're coming to a table that's intended to feed us spiritually, but there is the need of not just spiritual hunger, but physical hunger. And people get hungry in many different ways. They hunger for power, they hunger for glory, and often they hunger for just a simple meal. Show the mighty that you alone can satisfy the deepest need. Feed the poor from the abundance of your good creation. Lord, we pray for the church in times of trial, whether tested by tempestuous change or tempted by safety of the status quo, these different things that were tempting for Jesus too. Give us peace when anger and fear threaten to divide us and challenge us when we are too comfortable in this world. Lord, we also pray for leaders in high places, whether determined to help those who suffer or keep themselves very distant from the cries of the oppressed. Open their eyes to see your saving power at work. Open their ears to hear your prophet's call for justice. Lord, we come before you humble in that sense, humbled by the need that can be often found in our lives by the connections of the people, the relationships that we have. We all have someone in our relationship circle who's in need right now, whether it's a physical need, an emotional, mental need, or a spiritual need. And Lord, in silence, we offer that name in each of our hearts to you now. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, whether spoken with our mouth or just thought in our minds. We know that you love us with a steadfast love that goes on and on forever. That love that's manifested in the person of Jesus Christ and the act that he went through of dying for our sins, grabbing the keys of death, and rising from the dead and conquering death forever. We thank you for that love expressed through him. We know that you hear our prayers because you tell us to speak with you and pray, and we are honored through Christ's sacrificial life. Lord, we pray this in his name. Amen. Hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. So with thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. And we'll join together now in our next communion hymn, number 400, Spirit of the Living God. remain standing as we say together the Apostles' Creed as printed in your bulletins. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The following liturgy, I'll call it, the following order that we follow is in number 564, known as the Great Prayer of Thanksgiving. I will point out that at the close of this, we'll be saying the Lord's Prayer again, but not as printed there, as we say with debts and debtors. And I chose to do the Lord's Prayer twice today because I want us, during this 40 days of Lent, to really consider the words of the Lord's Prayer. It covers very, very much of what we need to be thinking about and meditating on throughout Lent. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you created heaven and earth, made us in your image and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we join our voices with whole creation to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us that eternal symbol of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we and all your saints may be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And now we join our hearts in the prayer that Jesus taught us using debts and debtors. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread that we break is the sharing of the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we share in that same loaf. The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing of the blood of Christ. The cup that we drink is our participation in the blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to Him as Lord. All are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord, the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us remember that on that night, Christ took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take this cup, and each time you drink it, you do this to remember the sacrifice of my blood for your lives. Do this in remembrance of me." Food of God for the people of God. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for all. Thanks be to God. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Thanks be to God. Let us bow our heads in thanks to God. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, that you have united us with Christ, that you have united us with one another. You've given us a foretaste of that heavenly banquet to your eternal kingdom. Lord, keep us in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and the glory and sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn this morning. What I put in here last week. You're not supposed to say that word. We put it away for a reason, but you remembered where it was. That's good. So the song that we're going to sing this morning has our secret word. I love that phrase, secret word. Has our secret word in it. So when we get to that part, we're going to hum it a little bit, and Renata will play it on the keyboard for us. Don't forget, I'll be listening. Let's join together now in our final hymn, Seek Ye First, number 625. Come before God in this time of Lent, the 40 days. Worship the Lord. Spend some time. Set something aside where you can spend time with God this week. And remember to serve only God. And may the steadfast love, that has said word that we've talked about, that steadfast love of God surround you throughout these 40 days and on into everlasting life. Amen. God bless you all. Now we're going to take a brief, please be seated. We'll take a brief a break as we set up and get ready for our annual meeting. Anybody who has children in Sunday school, we ask you to go get them kind of immediately because we'll have communion for the Sunday school teachers right now, and then I'll be back in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll be at that time ready for our annual meeting. And again, if you can't stay, we understand, but please try to remain if you are able to. You can chat amongst yourselves and get ready. Thank you. God bless.